earlier in the programme, a lawyer who specialises in slavery cases in Britain told us about the difficulties she envisages in bringing prosecutions against those involved in the alleged imprisonment of three women in London for over 30 years. Now, the law in Ireland on forced labour and slavery is in some respects the same, but in some significant respects different. So we're joined on the telephone now by Siobhan O'Donoghue, Director of the Migrant Rights Centre. Good morning, Siobhan.
Good morning.
Tell us, first of all, to your knowledge, how many such cases or alleged cases or possible cases of slavery or forced labour or imprisonment have there been in recent times in Ireland?
Well, our experience is that we've identified 200 cases over the last 6-7 years of suspected cases of forced labour. We have referred 26 people to make complaints to the guards on their experience of trafficking for forced labour. There has been no prosecutions for trafficking for forced labour in this country since the legislation was introduced in 2008.
And have you any idea why?
Well, there's probably a number of reasons. First of all, the actual definition of forced labour just was too vague, so it meant that when it came to formulating a case, the definition just wasn't strong enough. That's been changed as of this summer, so 2 months ago, the law was strengthened, and we will now be supporting people to take cases for forced labour, and hopefully there will be prosecutions. But another really important factor is that, as we know from the case unfolding in London, is that it's a very complicated process. That, you know, we're really hearing how traumatised the victims are, the need for specialist support, the need to take time. And unfortunately, in Ireland, what happens when somebody comes forward as a suspected case of trafficking, they're put into the direct provision system. And that's the only form of accommodation that's offered to them. And very often they're not given a chance to reflect or to recover sufficiently enough to be able to engage in an investigation. So then what happens is they're interviewed far too quickly. Maybe the information they give just after leaving a situation of forced labour is going to be very different to what they're going to be saying if they've had a chance to recover. And this is something that we feel really, really strongly about. There needs to be a reflection recovery period. This has been identified by the Council of Europe as essential for successful prosecutions, and we just need to do it here in this country.
What's the longest period of forced labour that you're aware of in Ireland?
The longest case was 7 years. Somebody in a situation.
And in your view, because you can understand why an investigating Garda would want to speak to someone and get their version, allowing for their traumatised condition, as quickly as possible, rather than waiting.
But I think there's an investigation, okay, can commence in terms of maybe even hearing what the person's understanding of what has happened to them. But what we're finding is that information then is being used to decide if there is a case to be made. And that's it's a really bad use of resources, but actually it's a real denial of human rights for the person who's been so traumatised.
Sorry, what is a denial of human rights?
Well, if you're not given a chance to recover sufficiently in order to be able to participate in a case which is going to determine your future, basically, and give you access to justice, that this is a denial of human rights. I think the situation in the UK and the way they've approached it is
given the way people are traumatised by what it's not like seeing a traffic accident. Is the help available? Whatever about the question of delay, is the help available? Has it been that they need? I'm talking about support, counselling, psychological, psychiatric.
Like an organisation like the Migrant Rights Centre, and there's others do this as well, but the Migrant Rights Centre, we would meet that person nearly daily for weeks. We would provide as much support as we can for that person to really get on their feet and be able to participate in the investigation, to find out what their rights are, but also to try and make sense of what's happened to them. Because I think if you remember, the devices that are used to hold a person in that enslaved condition are very varied, and they include everything from being told that you're the person that's done something wrong, you're told not to speak to any authorities, you're often told what information to tell them if you're asked about what you're doing here.
You seem to be saying
it takes a long time to unfold that.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. You seem to be saying that the law as amended recently is actually what it needs to be. But in terms of the period of waiting before someone is questioned and in terms of support services, we don't have the system we need?
No, we don't. And next week we're bringing experts from right across Europe and in Ireland to discuss this very issue. So we're hoping that we'll see some progress over the next period.
Just one final question about that figure you gave to us. You said you've identified over 200 cases of forced labour in Ireland in
That's
the last
right.
6 years and have forwarded the cases of 26 people to the Gardaí. Why so few?
Because we would be very careful about supporting a person to put themselves in a position to be part of an investigation that we know is not going to go anywhere. And we know that because the law was so weak that we knew that they were not going to be identified as victim of forced labour. So we have to be very careful about how we support, what advice we give to people.
Siobhan O'Donoghue of the Migrant Rights Centre, thank you very much.